Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And today joining us is Regina Cates, author of Lead With Your Heart, a combination of wise advice, anecdotes, and strategies for creating a life that is authentic, fulfilling, and healing. As we may know, many people are living mainly in the physical experience, disconnected from their heart essence and soul life, and controlled by their ego and mind connection. Regina and I have been privileged and honored to discover the heart, mind, and body connection and to offer that reality to the public, for I believe it is only in the true mindset and functioning from this heart essence that the stress and challenges we experience in our everyday lives can be transformed and exchanged for a more loving life. Hello, Regina.
Hi, Cheryl.
You know, Regina, as listeners of Healing From Within know, we provide the newest and the oldest ideologies worldwide from leading authors in the field of science, spirituality, medicine, education, and the arts in our search for the unique and divine in ourselves, in our human condition, and in helping create a worldwide community of evolved and highly well-functioning people. In our individual personal self-investigation of our emotions and our relationship to others, we can begin to recognize our unique potential and ability to value the beauty of life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Regina will share her discovery that in our left brain-dominated world of logic and ego, it can be easy to be caught up in the rat race of success and forget the dreams and needs of our heart. It may not be enough just to follow your heart. You must lead with it. Today we will show you how to ask yourself hard questions, be responsible for your own actions, face your fears, develop compassion, set boundaries, and begin to think differently than you have before. Regina, can you tell us something of your earlier life, family, and mentors, as it seems to me the seeds of our future are often begun in our earliest recollections?
Wow, that's true. That's very, very true, Cheryl. Thank you for a wonderful question. My earliest memory was at 18 months old. I remember my little sister, we were both adopted. My parents couldn't have children of their own, so they decided to adopt. And I remember sitting in the back seat. I was just about 18 months old, and I remember the nuns carrying my little sister to the car. And it was so interesting to me, Cheryl, because I remembered it was like I was observing the world without being a part of it. And at that moment, I think that I awakened in this particular lifetime, and my job and my goal throughout my lifetime is to have stayed awake. And I didn't always do that. You know, it's a process once we get involved in the dream of the planet and everything that goes on. So that has been my mission, and it was a hard one. It was one that was fraught with challenges. I am gay, born in a Southern fundamentalist Christian upbringing, so that was an interesting challenge. But, you know, we all go through our challenges, Cheryl, and that's why I'm so devoted to
you. Do you know, Regina, yeah. What I have found in my experience with many brilliant people that I have interviewed and met and worked with is that the harder the challenges, the more evolved the soul is already, and the more we have chosen in this life to develop another aspect of our heart essence. And so that's why I laughed as you did when you started to be aware of challenges at 18 months old.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
As I did very early in life, and I looked at people, it was like having an out-of-body experience. Why are they behaving this way? Why don't they know the right thing to do? Why aren't they gentle or laughing and kinder? Because we were examples of that higher energy, and we brought it into this world, and we remembered it, and I guess we're here to help others awaken also, I would think.
Well, I think
that's
I think
it.
So. I do, Cheryl, and I don't think that we're necessarily that unique, other than I think that we have chosen to remember and really align with ourselves. I believe every soul is whole, no matter how wounded the human being. In all of the work that I've done, that is definitely what I have found.
Absolutely, I agree with you. The energy that connects us all to each other is universal and is magnificent and divine. It is only in the physical world that we tend to forget that brilliance of our soul being, and then the world does affect us too much, though. So we need to get back to that understanding again. Now, when did your intense search for spiritual awakening and truth begin in earnest? Was there a defining moment that made you commit to change and a new perception of yourself and life?
Actually, Cheryl, I think that I've been committed to this all of my life, because being born gay in a fundamentalist Christian church in the southern part of the United States, I had to remain aligned with who I am, who I was born to be. And so that meant that I had to challenge everyone. There was no one that I could talk to. You asked earlier if I had a mentor. That mentor, really, to be honest with you, I'd never studied with anyone, never really read anybody else. It was me. It was that divine essence within me. I go about that in great detail in the book about how it woke me up so early. So I think that my journey in my life has just been fighting the establishment to stay true to who I am and who I was born to be.
And that is a very important journey for all of us to learn. It is from within that we know ourselves and follow our dreams and value who we are ourselves. But you did say, and I found this interesting, there was a time when your dog, who you loved, died from heart disease. You lost your job and you were unemployed for 2 years and had to move back with your parents, and your back, you had issues with your back and surgery. You kept hearing your inner voice tell you, you have to keep exercising, eat right, and stretch. But you were hoping for a miracle at that time. Can you tell us something about that time?
Well, I think it's that, you know, when you don't listen to that power that be that says you need to do this, then all of a sudden everything is taken away. And yes, there was a period of time around my 40th birthday when everything started falling apart, from the job that I had to the relationship that I had. And it was because I was meant to pursue another avenue. So you're right, there was this last letting go on my 43rd birthday when I totally surrendered. You know, it's I will to will, I will.
And many of our listeners know that nothing is random. We have a life plan, and we have assistance from this higher dimension. And when we are not fulfilling our destiny or our potential, something comes in to just change the course of events. And that's what happened for you. And you wrote something about that. And I'd like to read it, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
It was then that I discovered who was actually responsible for creating the joyful and fulfilling life I wanted. Creating the life I wanted was completely an inside job. If I was my own worst enemy, how could I be my own best friend? As I was the only one who could develop greater self-love, self-acceptance, peace, and joy, I could no longer blame other people for my life. Seeing life through the eyes of an emotionally immature child allowed hurt to speak for me and to be driven by inappropriate impulses. I learned that heartache and disappointment happened when I practiced reactionary and self-justifying behavior. And through self-assessment, I realized that living insensitively is being out of control. Unfavorable action carries baggage in the form of damaging consequences. The returning result may not happen right away, yet the energy expended is guaranteed to be returned. And that's the absolute truth. That is what the physical world does to us. It keeps bringing in and returning energy from our thought processes and our behavior in dealing with the world and people and events in our life. And there's no way around it until we start to see the patterns and react and think a different way. It is the law of attraction. These same events will happen. You know, while we may not always be able to do this in the beginning of becoming mindful of all these triggers that press our buttons and cause us to feel anger or fear or pain or sorrow, over time and practice, We begin to think of our actions and how they affect others and how to really live with this law of attraction, giving and receiving good, goodwill, and love. And in the process, we conquer many of the hurts or imprints of all these past situations that may have affected us negatively or hurtfully. So what does it mean to lead with your heart?
It means to stay aligned, in my experience, Cheryl, with the behaviors of love that are within our heart, soul. Love is action, and I think that in my work, what I have found, and certainly in my own life, that people don't really know what love is. We're not taught what love is. It's this thing, this feeling, and yes, love is a feeling, and love is caring and affection, but love is always expressed through positive behavior. So leading with your heart is about taking personal responsibility for your actions and your thoughts and your goals and the motivations behind your behavior, and leading with the best part of you. You know, that karma thing does come back. So why not put out the best that you possibly can so that you can attract the best back?
Absolutely. So this brings us to the question of self-responsibility and how to own your own behavior and to conduct truthful self-assessment and become aware of self-centered deceptions or the ego mind at work telling us what might be right, but ultimately which is usually wrong if we listen to those, you know, what this person said and what that person did and all that. So how do we get to a greater sense of self-responsibility and not being so concerned with the outside world and what other people want?
Well, for me, it was a journey of learning to master a mind that has a mind of its own. Our mind thinks it's the smartest part of us, but it's not. Our heart, our soul is the smartest part of us. It's the one that is connected to that divine creative energy, whatever set all of this in motion, and that which is aligned with love. So for me, I think what happened on my 43rd birthday when I responded to that question of who is actually responsible for creating the life you want with I am, I realized that I am the spiritual being within my human body. We are great, you know, we are spiritual beings on a great human adventure. And I realized that, and it came full center, and that's when I start learning to master a mind that has a mind of its own. Because it will tell us anything, and we will believe it until we start asking it some hard questions. And then all of a sudden it goes, well, I don't know the answer to that.
And that's what we want. We want questions where possibly we don't know the answer, so we can explore a different aspect of our essence or soul. So those are good things. Now, you share ways to drop all images of what you and other people were like in the past, and that's an important thing to do. You give an example, and I like this example very much, of being reprimanded while working as a college administrator when you overheard a professor who was reprimanding a secretary for failing to address him by his title, doctor. Can you tell us something of that story?
Oh, Cheryl, that was a transformational moment in my life, because when I did respond to him negatively. I came to her defense.
Yes,
just like my ego told me to. You know, because if I just show him exactly how he's behaving like a bad person, then he will wake up and all of a sudden life will be great. Well, that doesn't happen. And so what happens is I went away. I did reprimand him in front of the secretary. I went away for a weekend, and Cheryl, I got this horrible email in my email box. And, of course, I was irritated, and so I started writing this horrible reply back to him. And then all of a sudden, I had another miracle happen. That little voice within me, my soul, said, wait a minute, do you really want to do this? And in that moment, I learned one of the greatest lessons I think that any of us can, and that is that we cannot be responsible for someone else's behavior. We can only be responsible for how we respond. In that moment, I responded from love. I assumed full responsibility for my part in the action. I never once brought up what he did. And, Cheryl, what happened for me is that this man not only became someone important in my life as far as helping me while I was at the college, but he also was the only person to give me a parting gift when I left. That is when I learned that changed people change people without trying. I never tried to change him. I only took total responsibility for my actions. And in so doing, he woke up But he decided to do that. I never pressed him on it.
No,
it was
I
a
know.
miracle.
That's why I loved that story so much. Because what you tried to do for that other woman came from the equality of the energy of your heart, your soul essence, knowing nobody really should try to hurt or change another person. So you did come from the heart and you did come from the mind, but you did learn that lesson that another person must accept responsibility for their own action. And you also talked to yourself about what had happened. And in the book, you said, had you treated Dr. X as you would want to be treated? And your answer was no. And had your rudeness accomplished anything positive? And the answer to that was really no. You had to evaluate the whole situation. And then you asked yourself, would I feel better if I had chosen not to engage in the first place? And you answered yes to that. And did Dr. X's behavior change my responsibility for my own behavior? And the answer to that was no. And the last comment you make is, doesn't attempting to control others really mean I am not in control of myself? Yes, so I think that story is a fabulous lesson for everybody listening out there to remember. Yes, we want to do the right thing, but we must do the right thing first for ourselves and then be an observer, set an example, and other people in time will make their own choices to perhaps do things in a way that's better for everybody. And that's what that story shows. Now, in my new book, The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, as a medium, and understanding that there is no time and space beyond this physical plane, I advise my clients to resonate in the present moment of mindfulness and focus. Because the past is concluded, and if you choose to access a pleasant memory, that's not unreasonable. But continuing to think of events that were painful or harmful or unhappy take you back to that energy and keep creating it. So in that story we just told, you resolved it. You didn't decide to stay in that energy and have an issue with that person, which could have gone on and made your life and his life and other people's life uncomfortable. So I commend you. And I'm glad you learned that lesson.
I could say one more thing about that. What the lesson that I learned, Cheryl, was very important because my ego reacted to him. You know, wanting to come to this woman's defense might have been a good thing, but the way that I did it, my ego reacted. And that's when I learned the lesson that I could speak from soul rather than ego. There's two different ways of approaching something. So by ego reacting to him, I threw more, you know, gasoline on the fire. By going home and getting that email and then responding from my heart to take full responsibility, that's when my soul took over. And that's when I realized that there's a difference between ego reacting to someone else, or what I call in the book ego boxing, and responding from soul. So that was a transformational moment for me because I figured out that I could always respond from my heart. You know, how someone else behaves is up to them. How I respond is up to me.
So you did respond to him, but you did it in a kind and gentle way to diffuse the situation that had happened.
And that was when I responded to him the second time, yes. The first time I called him on his behavior, I was behaving exactly the same way as he was, rudely.
Well, you know why? That's because energy sets up energy. So his reaction caused your energy to react the same way. But in focusing on how to do it a little differently, you did come from the soul and heart, and you corrected him and yourself at the same time. And it's a win-win situation. Now, you say, remember, deep, lasting, and intimate relationships are based on shared values that govern behavior. That situation sort of was about that, but can you expand on that thought?
Well, yeah, because the behaviors of love, Cheryl, that I've identified 26, I'm sure there's more, but cooperation, loyalty, honesty, acceptance, these things that when we find someone else in our life that has these also as their operating principles, then that's going to make a successful relationship. Too often we get into relationships with people that do not share our same values, and we run into difficult problems. You know, then we want to change the other person, or we want to get them to see where they're behaving badly. So shared values are extremely important to create successful relationships, and those are all relationships, not just those we have with our partner, but work relationships. You know, you're going to hire an employee that is honest, if you're an honest-based company. So having those shared character values is extraordinarily important and is something that we need to concentrate on as a society.
So that is true. We can honor everyone, but we don't have to accept people without integrity, honesty, or love in their heart and spend too much time. They will find another way to be with people who are more on their level at the moment in their physical life.
And yet how we grow is we get with people that are more advanced than we are too. So, you know, there's that part of setting boundaries also, because we do need to, you know, certainly when it's our family and those people that are close to us, we need to teach what's right and wrong. We need to teach values. We need to teach that honesty, you know, attracts other honesty. So that's the power that we have, is those people that we have influence over within our own homes and within our own families and friends.
And they will resonate with us. And sometimes we will come across people who do not. And it doesn't mean they're necessarily bad people. They are on a different journey, and they are experiencing life in their own way. And I think we have to allow, accept, and surrender to it, and just continue to be the example of the values that we hold dear. Now, you asked the question, when do we stop identifying people with their mistakes and forgive them as we want to be forgiven? And you tell us several events that happened to you when you were 11 and then again at 17, and how it felt to experience emotional, psychological, and physical pain because of the actions of others. And this was another way you learned to be strong within your values and virtues. And can you tell something about those times?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I was molested sexually by a babysitter and by a physician. And, you know, it's a matter of you either hold on to that pain or you go ahead and forgive. And for me, forgiveness means releasing the resentment that we're carrying that they should have known better. You know, as Maya Angelou said, when you know better, you do better. And that means an emotional awareness that how your behavior hurts someone else. So I came to this understanding, and I have great compassion for people who have not yet reached the understanding, emotional awareness that their behavior, their actions impact other people. Some people out there just don't get that yet, and I have deep compassion for them. But for me to move forward, and for those of us that have been in those circumstances, the healthy thing for us to do is to go ahead and cut that energetic cord. We don't want to keep those people that have hurt us and abused us in our lives. We have to cut that emotional cord with them, and the way that we do this is through forgiveness. And again, that's releasing the resentment that we carry that they should have done better. They didn't. We need to accept reality and move on for what's healthy with us.
Absolutely. And Regina, you cannot imagine how many people I talk to who have had similar circumstances. It's a very prevalent problem with parenting and teachers and medical professionals and people all through life who deal with young children and make mistakes and make serious mistakes. But yes, you offer a way to get beyond it. And you wrote about this. While past behavior is frequently a good predictor of future action, this belief can automatically apply to everyone. When we refuse to acknowledge that a person may have changed, it is an egotistical limitation. No matter what happened in the past, I am the first to support people who actually do change, and they change their behavior from negative to decidedly positive. Accepting that people change is not forgetting or condoning what they did. It is not offering a free pass to people who have a history of criminal or abusive behavior so they can continue to act as they please. When someone we know has a history of being an abuser or an angry, controlling, or irresponsible person, and that person replaces promises to change with concrete actions that result in new, consistently positive behavior, then he or she is taking the first steps towards changing for the better.
Oh, absolutely, Cheryl, because anything that we want to change within ourselves or our society, we have to bring a higher level of awareness than what created it. So the current system of abusing people though that have abused is not going to work. We have to love them. Love is the power that will heal any of those folks. It really is. We're going about it the wrong way as a society.
Yes, I agree. We need to continue to open our hearts and our minds to everyone, People who have had challenges or sadness in their life need more love, just as you just said. I want to thank you, Regina Cates, for your honest and very similar journey to my own to learn more about who we are and where we come from and how we may make sense of the many conflicting beliefs and views of society and history to bring to the world the most compassionate and heart-based wisdom of the ages for improving our own lives and the world community. For more information and to purchase this engaging and enlightening way to lead with your heart, go to romancingyoursoul.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Regina and I have discussed the ways to take ownership of our own interpretation and view of our actions and the actions of others to determine the moral fiber and spiritual levels of our own energy soul system, which not only influences our success in this physical world, but the future universal world of energy beyond here that we are creating with our intentions and levels of either positive or negative emotions and interactions. In my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I express that we will never know ourselves, God, or anyone else completely, as each soul has its perception of reality and the past and is constantly in the flow of change, following their own life plan and destiny in search of greater awareness of love and creation. And Regina wrote, "It did not feel right in my heart to be forced to adopt the right or wrong, fearful and proprietary view of spirituality. While I deeply cherish Jesus, I also equally honor the peaceful life-enhancing behavior of all messengers of enlightenment. Today, both male and female representatives of our best potential continue to walk together with us, offering keys to joy, accountability, and peace. The goal is for human beings to intimately connect with one another and to be guided by their hearts, regardless of what path is chosen. Living a peaceful, non-judgmental life is proof that the messages of compassion, equality, accountability, and kindness have been permanently written on our hearts. It does not matter what name was and is assigned to the messenger. Regina and I would ask you to remember your own divine soul essence and be, as are we all, the representatives and messengers of universal energy and the creative life force of love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, webtalkradio.net, and dreamvision7radio.com. to listen to and read the ideas and stories of authors who, like you, are moving through these changing times with challenges and hopes for creating the best life possible for us all. Thank you very much.